Okay, so thank you again, Greg, for taking the class last week, and Greg told me that he got through on the sheets. He got through all the way to 3, point 3 on page 3. And so pages 1 and 2 were designed to emphasize the emphasis in the scriptures on separation. And that's the concept behind holiness, of course, separation. So how is God holy? How is God holy? In everything. Good answer. In everything. He's holy morally. That's the way we usually think of the term holiness, right? Morally means separated from sin. So God is completely separated from sin. In fact, the scriptures say what? That God can't have sin in His presence. There is no sin in Him, and He is holy, 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 and there will be nothing that enters in to heaven with God that is corrupt, that is impure, that is unclean, that is sinful. Because God cannot be in the presence, so to speak, you might say. His essence cannot tolerate sin. He's holy. Kathy?
The Lord's saved, holy, saved argument, if you're in sin and living in sin, but you're saved, then there's this argument for us saying that God can't be aware of sin.
Right. They would have an answer to that, Kathy? They would say that because they're in Christ, because they've been saved, because they've been born again, that when they sin, their sin is immediately forgiven.
Without asking.
Even without asking. They live in a state of grace. They live in a state of forgiveness. And they cannot sin. They cannot so sin so as to be lost. Well, it's rude because it's not biblical. what do the scriptures say about how a Christian, once you become a Christian, once you enter into Christ and you're saved, what do the scriptures say about how a Christian is forgiven of sin? Right, we have to repent, right? And we have to confess our sins, and then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, we lie. We make Him a liar. You know, if we say that we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. So that's what they're doing, essentially, is they're saying, well, yes, we sin, but it's not really counted as sin because we're saved. And it's almost like saying we have no sin.
I guess the argument of the whole thing is there's
right.
And her argument was just to clear your head.
Yeah.
The mental state too.
Right.
To relieve you of your
right.
Right.
Right. Right. And you know, that makes sense to her because all she's doing is thinking through it. You know, and she, instead of listening to God, you know, let God speak to that question. You know, don't just make it up, so to speak. You know, sounds good to me. This sounds good to me. So that must be the way it is. No, that's no way to handle our relationship with God, is it? We have to listen to what He says. And so if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So are you walking in the light? That's what He says. If we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So are you walking in the light? What does that mean, to walk in the light? There is no darkness in God. If we walk in the darkness, then we have no fellowship with God. So are you walking in the darkness, or are you walking in the light? How would you evaluate that? How would you know that? Do you know that you're walking in the light? John says, I write these things to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5 and verse 13. So I realize, I'll give a little disclaimer here. I realize that we understand that our knowledge is not perfect. We don't know everything. And we are not the judge. We're taught that in the Scriptures. Paul said, I don't even judge myself. God judges perfectly. So I recognize that, that there is a sense in which we do not know. But what do we know? We know what God has said. So we trust God, right? We trust Him. He is faithful. He is just. And so are you walking in the light of His Word would be a reflection on what? What would that include? What would that involve? Are you being what? Pardon me?
Submissive.
Somebody said?
Christ-like.
What'd you say? Obedient. All right. Submissive. I like that concept of submissive because it includes obedience. You're submitting to God. Okay. So what you're doing is you're saying to God, God, as far as I know, to the best of my ability, I am serving you. I want to serve you. I don't know of anything that I need to change. If you do, then you need to change it, right? That's called repentance. And so today, can you walk knowing? And that's where the joy comes from. If you can't walk in Christ knowing that if the Lord should come again, or that you should pass from this earth, that you would be with Him forever in heaven, then where is your joy coming from? Where is your peace coming from? Those are words we throw around because they're biblical concepts and we're told that we're supposed to be this way, joyful, peaceful, joy in the Holy Spirit. Acts 9, verse 31, the disciples were comforted by the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Holy Spirit. So that comes from faith. That comes from trust in God and a desire on your part to walk in the light. Is that helpful? So what would you be doing then? You would be opening your heart up to God in truth. Drawing near to God in truth, the Bible says. God is, He draws near. He's welcoming people who will draw near to Him in truth. So you have to be open with God. You have to be honest with God. You have to, don't put the blinders on with God because He sees everything. He knows everything. So just be transparent and open with Him and ask Him to forgive you of all your sins and to lead you in the path of righteousness. And He will do that. He is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and to cleanse you. So there's your joy. There's your peace. Nona?
You also know that it is me talking about, and when He died on the cross, we are free from the power of sin. Not just the other demons, but we are free.
Yes.
From the power of sin, because sin is a lot of power. Getting in our faith. So I think that's what we recommend the joy, because freedom gives joy. And a lot of that is what's supposed to come up from the power of sin. Paul said, I want to do what I want to do, but
right.
I do, this will have power to extend it.
Right.
It's keep up there. So I think that's the actual sense of living the Spirit, that we free from our sin, that we live in the Spirit of Christ.
Yes.
Outside to come up the law of sin.
Right.
But inside the power of the law of
That's right. So we should be able to rejoice in the power that we have over sin. Do you ever think in those terms? That, you know, be thankful to God for the strength that He does give you, the power that He does give you over sin. I mean, if you compare, maybe if you came out of the world, you know, or you fell away from the Lord and lived a worldly life for some time, you are quite aware of the power of sin. And even if it, none of those things, you're aware. And so are you thankful and joyful that you don't sin like you did before? That God has given you that victory over all of these things. And if you find yourself falling prey to any sin, then what are you going to do about that? Be honest with God. Be open. Like Paul was being honest with God. He was saying, look, I want to do good, but sometimes I don't. Well, he was being very honest, very open. Now, I think in the context there, he was talking about the person who's under the bondage of sin under the old law. And then he's comparing that to the freedom that we have in Christ. Thanks be to God who will deliver me from the body of this death. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. I've been freed. I've been set free from the body of this death through the forgiveness that comes through Christ. I have the freedom now. I have the power over sin through the blood of Christ. So all of that produces joy in us, but we have to be honest with God. That's really what I'm focusing in on, is the idea of openness and honesty with God. If we confess our sins, that's the concept there of being open and honest with God. If we confess our sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's walking in the light. You know, if you're aware of sin in your life, you repent, you turn, you confess, and you trust. Right?
You know, the sad part about it, you don't see this stuff until you really change your life and come open to the light.
Right.
So that's the only time you can be able to see darkness, because if you don't change over and come into the light, you'll never see it.
Right.
You know, because you're going to always be in that same lane in darkness, you know?
Right.
And there's always going to be something telling you, hey, you need to turn.
Right.
You know, it's guaranteed God will put something in your path where you know you need to turn.
Right.
And then you can reveal back to you when you make that turn, you know?
Right.
And it's so.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, if you're looking for God, you will find Him, and He will turn you. He will turn you, and you'll be able to look back, and you'll be able to see that. God turned me. I turned away from sin and towards righteousness. And so, you know, that's on a big scale, on a life scale, and it's also on a day-to-day scale. If the need is there to repent and turn, and we're open and honest with God, and we repent, we turn, we trust. And that's where our joy comes from. That's where our confidence comes from. It's not in us. It's in Christ, and we in our faith in who God is. And that's why knowing God is eternal life. You know, John 17, verse 3, to know God and to know His Son is eternal life. You have to know God because that's who you're trusting. You have to know what He says. And what He says is very powerful to give us joy, comfort, peace, strength, victory in this life. Because we are not separated from sin in the way we will be. There is no sin in heaven. And we will be with God and we'll be separated. And there'll be no tears and no sorrow, no pain. No, nothing. And the cowardly and the unbelieving and the fornicators and the sin, you know, all he gives a long list of sins, they won't be there in heaven. So that's what we're looking for, is separation from sin. And that's who God is. Might as well hand these out for next time. If Todd, maybe you and someone else. That's not half and half, but you can make it work. Thank you. All right, questions, comments? Yes, Robert?
What Ray said about not being able to see the darkness until you come to the light, made me think of 2 Corinthians 4. Paul is talking about the gospel being veiled because the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And how true that is on a whole life scale and an individual daily,
right.
Day by day scale. Because, the influence of Satan and the world and all the love of money and all the things that our eyes and heart would, be drawn to, flesh.
Right.
How that can veil our eyes and we can't see God.
Right.
And our hearts get hard. And we can't respond and continue to be the light and stay in the light and being sensitive to God's word.
Right.
Don't you find it there's lots of words, awesome, that God has revealed us to ourselves? That's what you're kind of talking about. That made me think about that, Robert. The world doesn't see themselves. They don't see it. They don't see who they are. They just continue in this spiraling of sin and decay. Their relationships break. They go to jail or prison for choices they made. They don't see themselves. And so they continue in this spiraling downward in a world of sin, a world of corruption. And so the gospel opens up our eyes and we see ourselves in relation to our Creator. And when the more we learn then about our Creator, the more we are revealed to ourselves and the more we should become humble, dependent, grateful, joyful, at peace. God's the only one who can fill up your soul. And that's where you live. You live in the soul. And when your soul becomes black and dark and hardened and you're in sin and so on, you have no light in you and your life is miserable. And you don't want to admit it. You don't want to, come to grips with it. So you just keep spiraling in it downward. And I know a little bit about that from experience because that's the way I can look back at my life before I became a Christian at age 26. So I have a little bit of awareness of that. But imagine people, living most of their lives and, the light, if they come to the light of God's word and their lives are revealed to themselves, what must they see when they look back? All that darkness. And I deal with that a lot down at Lottie with guys who, they're looking back at their lives. And Daryl deals with that a lot. He tries to get guys to do that, too, to look back and to acknowledge the darkness so that they'll appreciate the light more. It reveals us to ourselves. This is who we are. Left to ourselves without Christ, we are what? We are. Throw some words out there. There's lots of them. What are we without Christ? We're lost. We're nothing. We're going down. We have I think in terms of broken relationships a lot. Just, you see a lot of that. And that's the worst thing. If you don't have a relationship with God, that's the worst. But then you don't have a relationship with your spouse the way it should be, with your children the way it should be, with your friends, your neighbors the way it should be. Relationships are not good, generally speaking, outside of Christ, outside of His light. So I just am thankful all the time for that, for the relationships, because that's what I didn't have, I didn't have any of that until Christ. Saw a hand. No, no.
Yeah. What's the difference of sin? The power of sin is the law. But even the Bible says that the law is holy and good. But there is no power if you live under the grace. Because grace is the one that has power. So
righteousness. That's right.
But for the sinner who lives under righteousness, who lives under righteousness, sin has power. The law is having the power.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's the key of our lives, the righteous before God, that we need to use the power of grace.
Yeah.
Not the power of sin.
Amen. And it's life. It's called life. Yeah, true life.
The law is only for the unrighteous. It's because only the power for
that's right. That's right. The Spirit of Christ, right. We live in the Spirit of Christ. We live according to the Spirit. We set our minds on the things of the Spirit, not on the things of the flesh. The light has gone off, so to speak, and we now are focused on the light and not the darkness. Robert?
We can agree that Christ is the He is the greatest light. He is the light.
He is the light.
Light,
yeah.
Of men.
Right.
And with Him being the light, and us to become a light, it comes down to sinfulness and not being in the light. It really comes down to selfishness and pride. It's part of greed, part of light of the lust of eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
Mm-hmm.
All that really boils down to pride and what, consumption. We're
consumers. Self-desire.
The greatest lesson was the takers and the givers.
Givers and the takers.
Exactly. and when it comes down to it, working side by side with non-believers that, their eyes are blinded to the gospel, it really just boils down to, being selfish and not really caring about the next man. What can I get? What can I get? What can you do for me?
Right.
And looking back at my life too, and even, glimpses here and there when I am selfish, that's when the relationship is at the best with
right.
God,
right.
with, my
oh, yeah.
man, my wife.
Yep.
Because it's selfishness.
Yep.
So that's why Christ was the light, because He was a selfless person.
That's right.
I mean, He became flesh and He was God, but He Philippians 2, he humbled Himself.
That's right. Amen. I mean, that's the key. That changes everything. Imagine, the difference between somebody who's thinking that way. I'm going to be unselfish in everything. All right, so somebody just irritated me. I'm going to be unselfish. Somebody just harmed me. I'm going to be unselfish. I'm telling you, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, that's who Christ is. He is the most unselfish person who ever lived. He emptied Himself, Philippians 2 says. I like that translation the best because that's actually what the Greek word means. It's just one word, emptied. And it's in the middle voice, which means He emptied Himself. So that has always struck me. That's the essence. Although He was in the form of God, He took on the form of a servant and emptied Himself. And so our commands is to die to self. Right. To not live. If we love our life, we'll lose it. But if we lose our life for His sake, we'll gain it. So it's all about being unselfish. And when you really get that in your heart, you believe it and you trust it and you live it, then you're walking in the light and everything is so much better for you. And, of course, your relationship with God is strengthened because that's who He is.
I think another good word to use for that, he is always the way to serve Him. And that's what we're put on earth to do, is to serve.
Right.
Just to serve other people and love other people. That is the example.
Right.
It's just kind of
easy to get. Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
harder to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I
know. That's it. That's right. Yeah. And you know, if we end up emptying ourselves in this life, you know what I mean by that is like, you just give and give and give and give and give until you can't give any more. Well, that's what he did. But for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he knew where he was going, and he knew that his actions would bring people with him. And so for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. But now he sat down at the right hand of God. And so that's our lives. Our lives, we're going to empty ourselves. That if we are walking in the light and we're learning who God is, that's what we're going to do. More and more and better and better. But that's, you know, that's the day-to-day mindset. Am I doing that? You know, and when challenges come, am I doing that? When somebody does me wrong, am I doing that? Am I emptying self? You know, and so on.
Yeah, also with, you know, the I think it's very important to learn to keep in mind that the person in force that if he serves with strength kind of life.
Yes.
Because he can serve without some strength, just like in the first Christian that even if you do get you burn us, you know, if you give out the body of the thing.
Yeah.
But if you have much protection, if you want to have much love the way much love, then you can do nothing.
Right.
So that's a very hard life to live because a lot of times you want some people so that you can, okay?
Oh, yes. So we can get something in return.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. Amen. Right. Yeah, if you didn't hear what Nona was saying, he's talking about how there are people who, in the Bible, that Jesus reproved for doing the things that they do in order to get something in return, you know, to praise of men or to be viewed of men certain ways and so on. So, you know, have you ever challenged yourself in that regard? Sometimes you wonder if what you're doing because you want people to see you a certain way. And I've had that a lot in my life because I think as a preacher, you tend to be more self-conscious, too, about how people view you. You know, you want to be viewed a certain way, you know, because you recognize that's the position you put yourself in as an example, you know. And so am I doing what I'm doing because I'm dying to self and serving Christ, or am I doing what I'm doing just so people think well of me? You know, I've had to challenge myself. I know you probably have all had to challenge yourself that way in many respects. So it's not just preachers that have that issue. But that's the right way to challenge yourself, is make sure you're doing what you're doing because you're truly giving and not looking to receive anything in return. And just keep reminding yourself of that.
Like, don't let your white hand know your left hand.
Yes.
Pray in the prayer closet, or like don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they gave their alms to be seen of men, you know, like they made sure everybody saw what they were putting in the basket, so to speak, you know, or they did what they did and then they sounded their own horn, so to speak, you know, like, look what I did, you know, and that's what Jesus was reproving. Don't do that, because you want to be a giver. You want to just give, empty self and do. Without expecting anything in return. Okay, so we haven't even touched our lesson this morning. But in a way we have, because we've been talking about sin and how we are separated from it through Christ. And we're made holy in Christ. So how does that work? Well, Christ forgives us of all of our sins, and then what are we? Holy. So on a day-to-day basis, that's the way you need to see yourself. I am a holy one. I am a saint. No one likes to say that. I understand that. Because of the way the world probably looks at that word. You know, we don't like to say that. But that's the way God wants us to think. And why is there power and strength in seeing yourself that way? Because if you're a saint, if you're a holy one, are you going to sin? Much less likely. You may sin, but you're going to be much less likely to sin when you see yourself the way God sees you. And you value that. And you say, thank you, God, for making me holy through the blood of Christ. You don't want to sin. Why not? Well, because I'll go to hell. Well, yes. Yes. But why don't I want to sin? Why don't you want to sin? And who do you love? So that's the way I always think about it, is that if I really love God, then I don't want to sin. Because what did God do to solve my problem? He gave His Son. He gave His Son. And we talk about that every week. And it means everything to us. So how can we not value the love of God and just, you know, go into sin? So that kind of thing, I remember saying this in a sermon recently about lying, you know. I refuse to be a liar. And that's a phrase that I've kept in my head, you know, because there's so many temptations to either say an untruth or just, you know, a little white lie, as they call them, just to benefit yourself. I refuse to be a liar. I refuse to be dishonest. Because if I'm dishonest with you, who else am I going to be dishonest with? With God. And I can't be dishonest with God. He knows everything. He sees everything. If I'm dishonest with God, I'm done. I'm finished. Because He only allows those who draw near to Him in truth. We have to be honest. So I refuse to be a liar. You know, I refuse to sin is the concept. I refuse. Why? Because I love God. And I appreciate what He's done for me. So that's kind of, you know, a practical way of looking at what Nono's talking about the power that we have. We have power over sin through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through the knowledge of God. We have power over sin. We've been set free from the power of sin. So thanks be to God.
So Jerry, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Right.
So, with that being said, how do I be dishonest with that?
Right.
You already know, like, I might be dishonest with myself and not let myself see something.
Right.
But how can I be dishonest with God? Sure.
Right.
So, what do you mean by being dishonest with God? Like, you can't be dishonest.
Well, it's like, what I mean by that is not being open with God and acknowledging your sin to Him, kind of like sinning without confessing it, sinning without acknowledging it, trying to pretend as if it's okay. That's what I'm talking about. So be transparent with God, be open with God is what I'm really talking about. Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Greg? Right. Yeah, I was thinking that when Kathy was saying that, is you're right. You're absolutely right. And I'm glad you think that way. But that's a trained thought process. You've been trained by God to understand that. And so you need to remember that. You need to remember that God sees everything. He knows everything. You've been trained to think about that by the Word of God, right?
I mean, I ask them, like, whatever I'm not seeing, like,
right.
So I don't want to be up there and be like,
right. Well, that's very biblical, what you just described. David did that. He said, "Search me." That's very biblical, yeah. You didn't even know it. Yeah, it's very biblical. You look in Psalms, I believe it's in Psalm 139, where David says, "Search me, O God, and try me, and know my heart, and reveal to me if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the path of righteousness." That's what we do. Search me, O God, and try me, and know my heart, and reveal to me if there be any wickedness in me. That's walking in the light. That's the right concept. Wayne?
If you're being dishonest with God, you'd have separation because of sin.
That's right. And that's what you don't want. So we didn't get to Ephesians 5. That's where we were going to go today. We're out of time this morning, but we were going to go to Ephesians 5. And there's so much good information in there about separation and holiness. And it really goes all the way through to verse 17. So why don't we do that next week and keep hold of your Wrath of God handouts. And I'll have more of those as well, but we'll